Drake May going up against the first overall pick. He was the third overall pick. First time he's matched up against a rookie QB this season as Caleb Williams, who has had an up-and-down season in Chicago. He's had a couple of weeks where he looked great. He's had a couple of weeks where he looked not great. And Drake May, I think, has been someone who you look at, and it's very different expectations, very different treatment of Drake May compared to Caleb Williams. We talked about that a little bit in the first hour. We'll get back into that right now, because I think that, in general, you look at what the Bears did, you look at how they've built their team, and even if it's not going perfectly for them right now, I think if you were a Patriots fan, and the Patriots had done all of that and it wasn't working great, you'd at least say, well, at least they tried, right? Like, at least they made an effort. At least there's something to show for it. You know, there's some name receivers, some playmaking guys right there. They're not, Keenan Allen's out of shape and having a bad year, and Moore's a little down. Adunze's on pace to have a good rookie season, but those other guys, Komet's not doing anything this year. Like, you're seeing that on that offense, and that's too bad. But at least you can say, hey, they tried. They actually went out there and made moves. They had some infrastructure in place to bring their rookie into. They didn't just parachute him in to a dead-end four-win team. They actually gave him something. And I think that that's the main difference here, is that the Patriots, compared to the Bears, didn't really try to surround Drake.
There's no sense of urgency,
right,
to use Jerod Mayo's term, from the front office, from seemingly ownership. This year had no sense of urgency. Now, I know they went and tried to get Calvin Ridley. I know they were flirting with Ayuk, but they didn't. Those guys didn't want anything to do with you.
No.
So, like, I do think that it's, if I were a Chicago fan, I'd look at that and, like you said, say at least they care right now, that they're trying to push for it right now. The only thing that you got as a Patriots fan is to say, well, Drake May is looking this way in spite of everything, and that's really the only thing that you can look at as a positive with what's happening down in Foxborough right now. So, like, you can feel good about that because obviously it's the most important part of a franchise. But I thought Tom Curran said it really well when he was on with us about an hour ago, when he said the way that Chicago's doing it is more organized. The way that the Patriots are doing it is they kind of just grabbed the pick that was there, who was there at the pick, and it's worked out. And that's, like, maybe behind the scenes, Ben McAdoo, T.C. McCartney are working to develop Drake in this very rapid way, where he is surprising people with how composed he looks, what a processor he is. But at the same time, everything around him is such a mess.
There's such a clear concept in Chicago where it's like, okay, now we identified what we tried to bring in as many things as we could. We identified what we need to fix. We need to go and get offensive line help. We probably need to switch our offensive coordinator. And it's like, all right, and then we'll be a playoff team next year because our defense is already really good.
Right.
Whereas with the New England Patriots, it's like, oh, nice, we stumbled into a quarterback. I guess we got to figure everything else out now. And, like, you don't know if the coach is good. You don't know if the offensive coordinator is actually any good. You don't know if your defensive coordinator or half your defensive personnel is any good. You don't know if anyone outside of the quarterback on the offense is even any good. You have no proof of concept on anything. And so it was such a, you got lucky almost, it feels like, that the quarterback is this good. And so now I don't even know if I'm confident that they can fix any of these issues in the offseason.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you got a lot of holes to patch, and they had a lot of holes to patch coming into this. The only one they really got was Drake May, who fell to them at third overall. I think that was sort of a no-brainer at that point, whether or not you had a different philosophy on what to do in the draft in the offseason or whatever. If you're getting a quarterback, that's the guy you're going to get. By the way, and I'm stealing this shamelessly from Mike Reese, Drake May has totaled 748 passing yards and 197 rushing yards in his first three career starts. He can become the seventh player in NFL history with 1,000 passing yards and 200 rushing yards in his first five starts, joining the likes of Jaden Daniels.
Nice.
Jalen Hurts.
Nice.
Kyler Murray.
Nice.
Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
RG3, who was rookie year, was
nice.
Unbelievable.
I'm really not liking some of this company.
What? I like this company just fine. I mean, none of these guys didn't all have great careers or anything, but in their rookie year, Griffin in his rookie year was awesome. Murray's rookie year was very good. And Dante Culpepper's the other one. And
Culpepper was awesome.
He was great, yeah.
He was awesome.
Listen, whatever happened after that, I mean, if we're just talking about rookie seasons, passing and running, those are guys that you want to emulate.
And I mean,
absolutely.
Kyler Murray's team is currently number one in the NFC West, by the way. Like, that team is, since after the first four games of the season, that team's been actually really good over the last three, 4 weeks.
Which is odd, because usually he turns into a pumpkin around
Call of Duty time.
Yeah.
Call of Duty came out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Normally, this is when he becomes awful, and yet he has has been probably the best he's been in quite some time recently. And so, like, it's I don't hate that list. It's, you know, it's not super inspiring at times, but at the same time, like, there's guys that have really popped. RG3 really popped in his rookie year, unfortunately had a really bad injury that they
his
forced him back
popped.
From. Yeah, that's true, too. But Jaden Daniels has been awesome. Jalen Hurts is really turning it on here in the season, and he's been to a Super Bowl. He's been awesome.
Yeah.
So, like, those are the top.
Kaepernick went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's not bad company to be in.
And that's the only thing that ever happened to him in his whole career. I don't remember anything else.
Nope, me either.
Kaepernick.
Not a thing.
While we're shamelessly stealing from Mike Reese here, how about this one? And this is kind of depressing. You suck so bad, Patriots, that they have to delay the Tom Brady statue. I'm not kidding.
So what is this news item? What?
So number two, and this is in Mike Reese's Quick Hits. It used to be called Reese's Pieces. Anybody remember Reese's Pieces back in the Globe, in the day?
That's what it used probably to a be copyright called. Issue, though, huh?
Probably, yes. Yeah. Anyway, state of the statue, he writes. When Tom Brady was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, Robert Kraft, back in June, Robert Kraft announced a 12-foot bronze statue of Brady would be unveiled outside Gillette Stadium this year. Before I get to the meat of this, if I'm the guy making the Brady statue, I got to be feeling a lot of pressure right now.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that Dwayne Wade statue?
The Dwayne Wade statue? The Ronaldo statue?
What is the execution level of the statue?
Well, so that's the thing. It has been a process. It is something. It's an art form we've been doing for millennia.
Yeah.
And yet somehow, some way, it's as bad, maybe worse, than it's ever been.
You know what it looks like they do? It looks like they spend all this time crafting, like, the body. And then they just slap the face together at the end.
Amazing.
Right? Like, you know, because they have Dwayne Wade's like, yeah, you know, and like Ronaldo and all these
Who
guys.
Who that is?
Right. And you're sort of looking at him and the body, they get the body right, you know, like the arms and the legs look real and everything. And you're like, wow, this is a great statue. And then you see the face and it's like, what the hell? Who is this, a person?
It looks like Dwayne Wade, 80 years old.
Right. It looked more like Antoine Walker, someone said, and that's true. I thought the Dwayne Wade statue looked like John Locke from Lost. Remember that
yes.
show? Like, I thought that's exactly what it looked like, but it just does not look like Dwayne Wade.
Well, then we also had the tiny, tiny Allen Iverson statue.
The tiny Iversons, yes, another one.
The statue execution is just all over the place, and especially when you have the face of Brady. Just, you better execute that.
You really better nail this.
You don't get, it's like this, the
we'll see,
David statue in
Italy. Luckily with football, though, you can keep the helmet on and then you don't have to worry about it.
True. But I don't think so. I think Brady's going to have that helmet on. You can't.
You think
can't
they're not going to show the cleft chin?
I know. He is a handsome guy. How bad must you feel if you're Dwayne Wade, though? Because I don't know if you remember this. Years and years ago, after they won the NBA title, he also got introduced by, like, the mayor of Seattle as Wade Jones.
I don't remember that.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you can Google it.
Wade Jones?
Yeah, she goes, and of course, Wade Jones.
Wow.
And it's just, he comes up and goes, who that is?
Yeah, just like they always used to announce in Miami, Wade Jones.
Of course, the great Wade Jones.
So good.
Yeah, just word of advice to whoever the Brady statue guy is. Just work on the face. No one cares about the body.
Give a lot of feedback before you unveil it.
Just
like,
go
make
right.
sure you have an editor.
Exactly. Yes, please.
Go to the, just
focus
spend all
group,
your time
something.
On the face and then slap the body together. I promise you, no one's going to notice if you do that. Anyways, I say all that to say this. Reese writes that the ideal scenario is for Brady to be on hand as part of his Fox broadcast duties for the Patriots home opener week two when they hosted Seattle. That was the weekend the Patriots welcomed back the 2014 team that beat the Seahawks. Unfortunately, Fox had Brady assigned to the Cowboys-Saints game for week two. The next Patriots home game was also broadcast in week five against Miami, but any chance Fox's A-team would be assigned to that game were all eliminated when Tua Tagovailoa sidelined with a concussion. So, given that Brady is now not expected to be in Foxborough this season, according to a source familiar with his schedule, plans have now shifted to find a date in 2025 that best fits to properly honor him. So they're not even going to put the statue up this year. They're going to wait a whole nother year to do it because you suck so bad.
What if next year they're in a similar position and they keep having to wait for the Brady statue?
I don't know. Maybe they'll just never do the Brady statue. Maybe they'll just suck forever and Brady's... It's the 4:30 game he does, right? The game of the week with Fox. It's never the game of the week. And they just say, yeah, you know what? To hell with it. Sorry, we can't do it. We'll have the Belichick statue out there. He'll show right up. You know, like Bill will be like, yeah, okay, yeah, statue time. Let's get this going here. Meanwhile, Brady can't be bothered. And because of that, they've now postponed the entire thing.
That's really embarrassing.
You suck so much you can't even put
a
Brady
really
statue
tough.
Up.
That's really tough.
Why? This organization is a mess.
Yeah, it certainly is. who are we expecting anything from today other than Drake May? Like, Jalen Polk is a name, and he's been someone that I think did a lot of media this week and is someone who I think has been a huge letdown so far this year. One of the worst wide receivers in the NFL. There's other players here who I think are due to turn it around. Anybody on either of your radars?
Well, I just always look at Pop Douglas and Hunter Henry. I think that those are kind of the only pass catchers that
tight ends can get after it against this team.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think tight ends will be a big part of the plan today. But I think Pop Douglas, Hunter Henry, those are basically the only guys who can create a chunk play with Drake May. Kayshon Booty
sometimes
has flashed at some points. Booty's flashed. But it's
Derrick Henry knows that.
Nice.
Hasn't been consistent enough for me.
I would go to the other side of the ball. For me, it's Keon White. Like, this Chicago offensive line has been putrid, like as bad as yours, if not worse. And so if there's an opportunity for you to make any kind of hay, this is the week to do it.
Yep, I would agree with that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you here on this Patriots Sunday. Patriots and the Bears kicking off at 1 o'clock. We're going to be joined by Andy Hart at 12:30, and we still have our pop, lock, and drop picks later on in the show, which I'm excited about. I missed you guys last week doing that. And Mego's here, actually, to do it in studio.
Let's go.
Which I don't even know if that's ever happened before. I wasn't here. I'm saying all three of us together, I don't think I've ever done it this year. So that's very exciting. Anyway, here's Chris Scheim to tell you what's trending, and then we're right back. Jerod Mayo detailing his conversations with Big Mike Onwenu, who is apparently moving over to left guard this week. He's been right guard, right tackle. All he has left is left tackle and center, and he'll have played all five positions on the line. The offensive line has been an adventure this year, to say the least. You got DeMontre Jacobs, who's probably going to start at right tackle today. Vidarian Lowe on the left, which in some ways I'm happy about, although he kind of got his ass kicked by...
yes, he did.
What's his name? Who was the guy in the Titans? Jeffrey Simmons, right? Who was all over him and just really made that whole thing a tough day for Drake May running around. It did break down some pockets where May was able to run and pick up some yards, but this offensive line, even when they have better games, never seem to be able to put together two or three good weeks in a row. It always seems like, okay, maybe you got something here. Another injury pops up or something, and then it's just, all right, we're back to square one. This is now taking your best offensive lineman, and I use that in air quotes because I don't think Onwenu's had a great season, but taking him and moving him to the complete other side, now we're kind of going off the rails a little bit, don't you think?
I think it's been off the rails.
Yeah.
And again, like I said earlier, I don't think it's a move that Mike Onwenu loves. I think he wants to have a home and stay there and be consistent. And even in talking to Vidarian Lowe this week down there, he was saying the offensive line is still very, very, very much figuring it out because of the inconsistency, because of injuries, because of just guys getting moved around, that they're still putting it together. And it's hard when how many different lineups do you have to go through and then have any kind of like concepts that you're executing in a consistent way? It's a different group every week. It's insane.
Yeah, there's zero consistency, and it's just there's also just zero talent on this line outside of Mike Onwenu. I think Tom said it great. They got one guy on the offensive line, and they've just been trying to put other people out there to try and fill the holes, which just doesn't work. That's like trying to fill the holes with paper. Eventually the water's just going to come back through again. Like, it might work for a second, but it's going to come back through. And so it's a mess, and they have shown zero desire or ability to fix it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they had the ability. I mean, listen, there's only so much you can do on the waiver wire and with other people's practice squads and things like that. Coming into the season, though, it's highlight. We talk about this every single week, so I mean, this isn't news to anybody, but drafting a right tackle, signing Chukwuma Okorafor, basically every fix that you thought you had for this offensive line, everything you tried to do, kind of blew up in your face, except maybe Laden Robinson, who also is now moving. Oh, you had to move Onwenu just to sort of placate Robinson is really what's happening here. And I think that that's problematic in and of itself. But that's a rookie who wasn't picked with a very high pick, so, you know, you want to bring him along. This offensive line, though, is just if they have a good game, it almost, you just sort of look at it and you're shocked. Like, okay,
you're like,
something
broke down on the other side?
Right. Yeah. What's wrong with that other team's defense? How come their pass rush couldn't get through? Like, what's going on here? Either way, we're talking just about the pass protection. Their run blocking is an abomination. Oh, like it's so bad. It's as bad as I've ever seen any team try.
Which is hard because like the first couple weeks they were pretty good. Like that was the one thing they could hang their hat on. It's like, oh, at least we can run block. Like come down, you're just moving forward, going downhill. Our offensive linemen are pretty good. But over the last 3-4 weeks now, it has been a nightmare. You can't even get out and get to the blocking part because the running back's getting stopped in the backfield.
Yeah, they just get bullied there. And I wonder like how much – I know Jerron Mayo, when he – called the team soft and then said, no, they're just playing soft. They're not soft. Mm-hmm. We all took that as he was being very critical of the defense because that's kind of his baby. But on the offensive line, like sometimes I wonder if we make too many excuses for them with the personnel issues, the injury issues that they have, where some of it is like, where is the effort here, guys?
Yeah.
Like, what? You know,
you have
so many excuses that it starts to see accountability slip by the wayside.
Yeah, and it becomes this larger issue too. Like it bleeds into everything else that your offense wants to do, and you can't then cleanly evaluate your rookie quarterback. You can't cleanly evaluate the running back you just paid $9 million to. You can't cleanly evaluate your offensive coordinator because you just have so many issues revolving around that offensive line.
Yeah, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jay in North Carolina. He's got thoughts on the Patriots. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. Look, outside of the offensive line, the lack of defense and the lack of wide receivers, you got a quarterback, but I think the Patriots really need to revamp. But I will tell you this. On any given day, any team can beat another team of the lesser teams in the league. I think the Patriots – don't laugh at this, please. I think the Patriots are starting to be a little feared. They can do things. They can win this game. And if they do, it's a start on the right foot.
Jay, who's afraid of the Patriots? Honestly, who do you think is afraid? You think the Bears are afraid of the Patriots?
All right. You put me in the corner.
You said it. I mean, come on,
man.
Jay,
you came off that perch real fast.
First of all, not only did he say it.
He named the one team.
The one team that they happen to be playing this week.
They literally play today.
He says, don't laugh at this, which, by the way, don't tell me what to do. He says, don't laugh at this. And then he says, I think that the Patriots are feared. And the first thing that pops to mind, are they feared by the team they're playing today?
By who?
Well, you know,
long pause. No, they're not. No, you got me. I mean,
you know,
come on.
Who might be afraid is like what we were saying earlier. These coaches on the other side who are nearing the axe, like they're seeing the axe being lowered, and
they know
they have to beat the Patriots.
They're afraid of losing to the Patriots
because the job's on the line.
That makes sense.
That could be the fear you're striking into their hearts.
Yeah, I am terrified of KJ Osborne.
I mean. I'm afraid of what happens when you throw the ball to Jalen Polk, you know? Like, I'm afraid of how he's going to drop it or what's going to happen there.
Also, that's just another example of misplaced priorities when you have seven wide receivers on the roster and yet you could barely field a legitimate offensive line. Like, that's just another reason why it's just like, what are we doing here? What did this team plan or think was the plan? Because I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's hard to really get a handle on that. Out of all the phases of the game, you know, between offense, defense, special teams, coaching, and let's say front office stuff too, what do you have the most faith in? Do you have faith in anything?
What do I have the most faith in?
Joey Sly.
I mean, okay, so special teams?
Sure.
Well, how about Marcus Jones?
Bryce Behringer is your, second best player. So, yeah, I'll go special teams.
Okay, special teams.
Marcus Jones, Bryce Behringer, Joey Sly. I have confidence in those three guys.
I have confidence in Jones. I mean, I think Jones, the reason why you've scored half the points you've scored, it seems like, this season is because he had a good kick return and gave you good field position. So, you know, that's something to – when he has the ball in his hands, I feel good about that. I would like it if they put Jones on offense a little bit.
Well, yeah, they did that once in the Mac Jones era, and it worked great. Like, throwing a screen pass, boom, 50-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they've never gone back.
And then they
that.
Said, we're never going to do that again.
Because he got hurt
way
like
too
once.
Well. Yeah. And listen, fine. If you're worried about him getting hurt, don't have him returning kicks then. Don't have him on the team then.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what he is. He's a weapon in that regard. And he's a mediocre, league average, maybe the cornerback. That's what he is at this point in his career. So use him for something else. You know, like that's sort of how I feel about it. But what are you going to do? Rick is in Portsmouth. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hello,
it's
Rick.
Really nice to hear Mega XL.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
Nice to hear what? What'd you say?
It's really nice to hear Mega on the radio.
I agree. It is nice to hear Mega on the radio. What's on your mind, Rick?
Hey, so I'm actually pretty optimistic about the Patriots right now. I think if Drake May continues to show progress, I think Mayo is going to be okay next year, and you'll see that Wolf guy get axed. They really need a forward-thinking person in the Patriots to look ahead and actually make this rebuild work.
Yeah, I think that, and we were just sort of touching on this a little bit in terms of the front office and everything else.
I love that his optimism. He's like, Drake's looking great, and Mayo's going to be better next year, and they're going to fire Elliot
and Wolf's
Wolf.
Gone.
The Wolf guy. Yeah. Be careful of that full moon.
Forget about that Wolf guy. He's not going to make it. I think Elliot Wolf already is going to be going into this offseason behind the eight ball a little bit. It's not like really anything worked out all that great for him other than Drake May, and Drake May is probably going to lead you to a 3-win, 4-win season. So
you think it's going to be that many? It could be 4.
Not really, but
no,
you know,
I think it's the under.
I was taking a page out of Rick's book with the optimism there. Maybe 4 wins. But yeah, it'll probably be the under.
But that doesn't matter to anybody. 75% of the fan base says they're fine with that. You got the quarterback, so they don't care if he wins games or not.
Again, I think you're lying. I think you're all lying out there, everybody who voted in the poll. You're lying to make yourself feel better. That's what
everyone's
it's all
lying.
About. You're all a bunch of liars. 617-779.
Liar, pants on fire.
7937. If you don't know what I'm talking about, in the emotional roller coaster that Mego posted about 5 hours ago, she said, does your opinion of Drake May change based on whether he leads the team to any more wins this season? Right now, no votes have gone up. They're up to 76.2%. That's all the precincts reporting, I think, at this point. As
the Maryland ballots have hit?
I think they have. Yes, your opinion will change is only 23.8. That is a lie. You're lying. You're all lying. If Drake May wins games, if he had won that game against Tennessee, your opinion wouldn't change. Don't tell me that. That's a lie. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to me, but you can't lie to the Lord. And you can't lie to Andy Hart either. Andy Hart of the Six Rings post-game show, who's going to be hosting it with John Lyons after the game today. You can also hear him 2 to 6 with me on WEEI Afternoons, joins us right now here on Football Sunday. Hello, Andy.
Hello, friends. How are we?
Doing well. What do you think of this poll? Mego asks, is your opinion of Drake May going to change based on whether he leads the team to any more wins this season? Over three quarters of respondents voted no. What do you vote on that, Andy?
So I'll be honest. Right now, I would vote no. And in December, I'll be bitching.
Why?
I'd be
yeah,
honest.
Sounds about
I mean,
right.
That's what I would do. I would vote no right now because I'm excited about Drake May. I'm a maniac. That whole thing, caught up in his exciting plays, caught up in his plays that don't even count, whatever.
So your opinion wouldn't change even if he had led the team back and won that game against the Titans? You wouldn't think any differently if he had won that game instead of throwing a game-ending interception?
I mean, I think it probably would, but I want to think it wouldn't. If that makes any sense. Like that's
so
what I mean.
Lying.
That's you're lying to
so
yourself.
You're
that's
lying.
What I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I mean.
You're a liar.
Yes. But I'm lying to myself. That's right.
Yes.
I'm lying internally.
What did I
not
say?
You're so
lying. Yes.
Those
yeah,
are the most dangerous lies of all.
Yeah, don't we all lie to ourselves about things all the time? Like
sure.
When we look in the mirror,
oh,
when
definitely.
We do make certain actions,
every
make decisions.
Day.
I never
right,
have
exactly.
done that before, not me.
We're all liars. We're all liars, liars, liars. So yeah, that's the reality. It's sort of like the reality of the situation in totality, where I think Robert Kraft and Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo went into this year knowing it might not be a lot of fun and it might be bad and it might be losses. And then it feels different when you're going through it and it's an absolute poop show. And you start to question yourself, lose confidence. Maybe Robert Kraft starts to question the whole thing. So I'm trying to be honest and say, I love Drake May. I love pretty much everything I've seen and heard from Drake May on and off the field. So I'd like to think I'm just going to allow him to play this out with a terrible offensive line, terrible coaching, terrible receivers, and not have it affect my opinion. But the reality is, when you go through loss after loss and turnover after turnover, or however it plays out, I do think it'll wear on my opinion, just like if he wins a shootout with Josh Allen, and I'm like, whoa, Josh Allen 2.0 is better than Josh Allen 1.0, I'll be excited about it. So, I mean, that's where I'm a little bit torn internally.
Liar. You're a liar. Wondering,
you sit on a throne of lies.
I do. Smells like beef and cheese.
Wondering how much patience you have left, if you have any, for Jalen Polk.
None. Absolutely none. And this goes back to me as much about the reaction to his struggles and even the preseason comments about whatever it was, if you're not with us now, don't jump on board when we're good or something. Like,
okay, Jalen, we won't.
Right. And we don't have to worry about it. Certainly not with you or the team, because right. Neither of you are good right now. And I'm trying not to like blacklist him and pull a Tom Brady and be like, rookie receivers suck. I want no part of that guy ever again. And again, if he goes out and has 180 yards today and 2 touchdowns and is making plays, can he recover? Can he sway me? Absolutely. But he's a guy that I think some people didn't want to begin with, because I think people had questions about where he fit in on the roster of his college team and what his upside was in terms of playmaker and potential. And, oh, he doesn't create a lot of separation, but he'll catch the ball. Will he? You sure about that? Because we've seen different things when the ball hits him. And then sort of the comments, and I just, the whole Jalen Polk experience hasn't been fun. And then when you marry that up with, whether we want to admit it or not, the history of the Patriots at the position, especially with second-round picks, it just seems doomed for Bustville failure.
We've talked about it quite a bit today, but Mike Onwenu playing yet another spot on the offensive line this week. What do you expect from him and the rest of the grouping against the Chicago Bears front?
I kind of hate it.
nice.
I just, you know, I'm old school, and, you know, I know Bill for years was often hesitant to move people around too much. And even with Onwenu, I think he was hesitant to move him even to tackle when he should have earlier, in my opinion. But this idea that you can just move a guy around week to week to week and not have it adversely affect his performance, I think is ridiculous, quite honestly, on the offensive line. And I don't see the upside being worth the downside for him. And I don't think he's had a great year. And I think part of it is the uncertainty of where he's lining up each and every week. Some of it is also that I think he ate a little too much to celebrate his contract. But, yeah, I have a lot of doubts about the line, just in general. And I don't, like, this is a Bears team that can get after the quarterback a little bit. I think 16 different guys have at least a half a sack for the Bears. It's some ridiculous number. So they bring it from all directions. All different players can contribute. I have concerns about that today being the difference maker in this game. This Bears defense doesn't allow a lot of points. And Drake May has had to run for his life, kind of be all, do all. And I don't think moving Mike Onwenu to the other side is necessarily going to fix that. In fact, I think we may look back on it and say, well, that actually made things worse.
We're talking with Andy Hart, Six Rings post game, as well as WEEI Afternoons. Andy, we barely even talked about this week, but Yannick Ngakoue signed by the Patriots, Yannick Ngakoue, and not active in this game today. Would you agree with me when I say that the Patriots pass rush has been sneaky, one of the most disappointing aspects of the entire team this year?
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I think, A, you know, the PR spin trading Judon was, gives opportunities to young guys, and, you know, Keon White's going to step up, and Uche's going to step up. And Keon White was shot out of a cannon, and I think he had 4.5 sacks the first two games. I thought he was active last week, but there's also been times where I think he's been more a part of the problem than the solution in terms of controlled pass rush and quarterbacks getting outside the pocket. It's why I pushed back this week when Mike Giardi tried to include him in the blue chippers
right.
on the roster.
So yeah.
I was like, I don't really agree with that. He has talent. I can see upside, but I can see upside on a bunch of guys. That doesn't mean they're blue chippers. So, yeah, no, I think Jennings has been good in the role we think he's actually good at, and that's kind of the more run-based, solid edge guy, not necessarily the guy that's going to be a big factor in the passing game and making plays, but more about preventing plays. Uche, to me, was the big disappointment. I thought he was pretty bad before they dealt him away. Wise has flashed at times, but yeah, I don't think the pass rush has been good enough, which is probably why you're taking a flyer on a guy that was once pretty productive and once had a pretty promising career and now is kind of bounced around as a journeyman practice squatter, you know, hanging on for a paycheck kind of guy. But I guess it's worth a shot, and, you know, maybe we'll see him next week.
Andy, if you were going to sit here and redraft the 2024 draft today,
yeah.
since we have two rookie quarterbacks going up against each other, highly drafted guys, 1, 2, and 3, how does that order go?
Drake,
1, 2, 3.
You know how to answer this, Andy.
Right. Yeah, I think I would go with Drake May, and maybe I'm too close.
Over Daniels?
Over Daniels?
Yeah.
I think I would go Drake May.
My man!
Wow.
Drake Daniels is an MVP candidate, Andy. Come on.
He hasn't beaten anybody.
So? And I think Drake May would be. I think Drake May might be if he was on that team. I think Drake May has every bit the it factor that Jaden Daniels
Talk to him,
had.
Andy.
He
Tell
just
him.
Has the SH blank T factor around him. That's the biggest problem. He doesn't have coaching, he doesn't have offensive line, and he doesn't have playmakers. Give him Terry McLaurin, give him Cliff Kingsbury, let him cook, and we'll see what we're doing here, because I think Drake May has proven himself special as a leader, as a guy. I think he has every bit that it factor that I also think Jaden Daniels seems to have for Washington. But I'm a little bit biased, and I do think the
little bit.
Question, it's okay, we're close to him, right?
Yeah.
He's my guy.
True.
I mean, we kind of rubbed thighs when
we had to switch
seats and whatever at the studio the other day.
That's true.
There's close. A little footsie going on there.
I'm so jealous you guys get to talk to him every week.
We're a little closer than you think, physically, mentally, emotionally, the whole damn thing.
Nice.
But I also, the questions about Jaden Daniels still exist in terms of his size and durability and how that's going to go. Now, I think they're much quieter than they were pre-draft.
Definitely.
And I also think the upside of Drake May continues to exist. I said this to you, Christian, when our buddy Terp was producing and when May left the studio. He's like, wow, he's a big kid. And I was like, yeah, with an emphasis on kid. Mm. I think he's going to put on 20 pounds of muscle in the next 2 to 3 years.
He's tall and he's a little bit leaner through the shoulders and chest than you'd expect him to be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
6'5", baby.
That's going to change on an NFL strength and conditioning program and nutrition program. I think he's going to put on bulk and really start to look more like Josh Allen, a little thicker through the upper body, take that pounding, and he's going to learn how to run and when to run. So, but the biggest thing for me, I do think, is he has had to deal with a really difficult situation from start to finish. Jacoby Brissett, who's going to win the job, competing. Oh, you're too deferential. Maybe, blah, blah, blah. Get the job. Oh, your team kind of stinks. I need you to run. Yeah, we're going to ask you about the line stinking, the receivers dropping the ball. I don't think he's made a single misstep in how he's handled anything since the day he arrived in New England. So I'm going to say I'd take him as the top quarterback.
Oh, I got to shake off the excitement. Andy, speaking of Drake May, what do you expect from him today against a stout Chicago defense? Is there any chance he leads them to a win and gets his first full game actual win?
There is absolutely a chance. I'm not going to say I feel necessarily great about it because, as I said earlier, this defense doesn't really give up 20-plus points. And I think you probably need to score 20 points to win. And I think there's probably going to be a struggle there because I don't know who he's going to rely on. And I think the keys to this game could very much be the tight ends. I think Cole Kmet could kill the Patriots in the middle of the field. Think back early in the year when Aaron Rodgers was rolling out and hitting the middle of the field.
Tyler Conklin.
Caleb Williams is going to be doing that, and I think Cole Kmet is a much better player. You know, the Duggar injury continues to be a concern. The linebackers aren't great, so that middle of the field is open. And then on the flip side, Hunter Henry's the go-to guy for the Patriots passing game. He's the go-to guy for Drake May. So if they link up early, get hot, and start making plays, that could be a jump start to what you're going to do. But I have concerns about some pressures. Once he starts running for his life, that leads the opportunity for fumbles. We saw that last week. I don't think that was a bad fumble necessarily, a cheap fumble. He's running for his life. He sees a guy, and just as he's about to try to throw it, boom, he gets hit. It happens. That's the reality of playing quarterback for the Patriots right now. Because if you're going to try to make plays, I mean, he can go down the Jacoby Brissett route and just go safe, safe, safe. You know, always have two hands on the ball, always tuck it, you know, go down early, throw it away, and they'll make no plays offensively, and you won't have any chance to win the game. So to have a chance to win the game, you need Drake May to try to make plays. And when he tries to make plays, there is an opportunity with this line and with these receivers that it could make plays for the other team. So I think this is a really interesting game where it might be their last best chance or one of their last best chances to steal a road win, steal a win overall. So I guess we'll see.
All right. That is the voice of Andy Hart. He will be doing the Six Rings post-game show, not with Fitzy this week. It's with John Lyons. Fitzy's hanging out with Bill Swirsky and the rest of the super fans out there in Chicago. So it's going to be Andy Hart and John Lyons after the game right here on WEEI reacting to Patriots-Bears. Andy, I'll talk to you at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Sounds good. Coming ready to go and not being sick. Are you over your sickness?
No, I never am. I have a 2-year-old. I'm constantly sick. I'm constantly coughing up crap. I'm
that
blowing
means I'm
my nose.
Constantly
a million
sick.
Times. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
You're one of those 43 monkeys. You're just passing it on to me. You're
I carry basically am, yes. And by the way, I don't know what happened with those monkeys. I never got the follow-up.
No,
Did they capture the monkeys or no?
They're just going to live in the Carolinas now.
All right. Last update I
invasive
saw was
species.
They caught one. 42 were still on the lamb.
Wow.
That sucks to be that one.
I know, that one.
That idiot.
He must be an idiot, or the slowest, right? They always say you don't have to be the fastest, just don't be the slowest. He
right.
must be the slowest.
They must have done the most experiments on that one, I would think. All right, Andy Hart, great job.
Guys.
We'll talk to you
see
later.
You,
all right, that's Andy Hart joining us here on WEEI Football Sunday. All that's left now is our pop, lock, and drop and picks that's coming up next. All right, you know what that means. It is time for pop, lock, and drop as we close out another Football Sunday here on WEEI. Who wants to start?
I would love to start.
All right, Chris Ryan, who's popping this week?
My pop of this week is going to be the Arizona Cardinals. They are going for 4 wins in a row. Everybody still thinks the Jets are good. I don't know if you've watched football this year. They are not good. They got a win over the Texans. Everybody's like, oh, the Jets are back. They're not back. Give me the Cardinals plus 1.5 as my team to pop today and go for 4 wins in a row in the NFC West and be the leader in the NFC West.
That's one of the games I'm not touching, so I'm glad you feel confident about it. My pop today is Dalton Kincaid, tight end of the Buffalo Bills, and here's why. You got no Cooper, he's out, and the
no
Colts,
Coleman.
And no Coleman either, that's true, and the Colts give up a ton of yards to the tight end. I think Kincaid's going to go out there and run wild on that team, and Josh Allen's going to be looking for him. So, you know, anytime touchdown, maybe a first touchdown if you like sprinkling in there. I think Kincaid is a guy who's going to see pay dirt today, and he's my pop. Who's your pop, Mango?
I like that. I'm also going with a tight end. My pop is actually Hunter Henry, and specifically, I think today is a day when he gets a touchdown. He's only had one this season. When you go back to Mac Jones's rookie year in 2021, he had 9.
Yeah.
AVP has called him a security blanket for rookie quarterbacks for a reason. I think he gets into the end zone. And last I checked, that was a plus 310 value there, if you want that.
Hell yeah.
A little juice on that.
Like the juice. All right. Who's your lock?
It's the lock of the century. Maybe the lock of the eon. That's the Minnesota Vikings laying 7 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's no shot in hell Mac Jones is coming anywhere close to this Vikings team against that Brian Flores defense. They are going to light his ass up. Give me the Vikings laying the 7 as my lock of the week.
I like that one. I'd like to argue against it, but there's no way There's just no way I could do it. My lock is the Denver Broncos plus 7 against the Chiefs. I'm locking that up because the Chiefs don't blow anybody out. I feel like they never win by more than one score. I think at worst you push here. And Denver is a good defense. I think that they're going to be able to go out there and limit that offense and what they want to do, even with DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is now, at this point in his career, more just a red zone guy. And that's fine. I mean, he's good in the red zone or whatever, but he's not. I don't look at him as the same explosive middle of the field player that he used to be. I think Denver's going to be able to limit him, and I think Nick's and that Broncos offense can make some inroads here against the Chiefs defense that I saw some cracks in last week. So give me Denver plus 7. I love that this week, and that's my lock. How about you, Mega?
My lock is Eagles money line over the Cowboys.
Love that.
Dak Prescott is out, might be having surgery. That team was already in a little bit of a precarious position. And I'd also say that's got to be really, really high up there on the Belichick 2025 watch at this point.
Yeah, the game I'm staying away from this week has to be the Falcons-Saints game.
That's mine too.
It's one of these weird situations where it's like the Falcons are clearly the better team. They should win this by 7+, but then there's the new coach factor. They just fired Dennis Allen. I'm pretty sure local guy Darren Rizzi now in charge down there.
The Rizzler.
Normally, new coach means a bump for the team, but with the Saints team, I just don't know. So I am staying very far away from that game.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Please.
Who are those people? The Rizzler and those other people? Who are they?
Just social media.
They go to Costco and they rate
somewhere.
The food at Costco. That's what they do?
Yeah, I don't.
Thomas is beside himself that I just asked this question.
No,
I don't even know what a Rizzler
they're
is.
They're Costco guys.
They just do. They go to Costco and they bring the boom, and they just say we bring the boom.
They're famous for no reason. That's
we
what
eat
they
cookies
are.
And other Costco delicious food. Obviously,
when you put the three of them next to each other, they look like a Pokemon evolving.
Wait, there's three Rizzlers?
No,
there's like a Rizzler, an older brother.
The Rizzler's
and like a dad.
Not even related to him, I don't think, right? Isn't the Rizzler just some kid they know?
You know what? I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
I don't either.
My drop was also Atlanta, New Orleans, but I'm going to change that one now. And instead, I think I'm going to drop. I think I'm going to drop San Francisco, Tampa Bay.
I think that's
what I'm going to veer away from a little bit here because the Niners are so unpredictable this year. I do think that Baker Mayfield is a guy who keeps games close for the most part. But, I think I'm going to drop that one because I don't want to take Atlanta, New Orleans again. Who are you dropping, Mega?
Mine runs quite contrary to Shime. I'm dropping Jets and Cards.
Okay.
I don't want to put anything on that game.
Respect.
Nothing to do with it. All right, there you go. Those are our picks. Pop, lock, and drop. Fade or follow if you want. We've exhausted our time here on WEEI Football Sunday. That means all that's left is kickoff. So we'll leave you to it here. We'll be back after. Keep it right here for after the game as the Six Rings post game show with Andy Hart and John Lyons. We'll be jumping on right after they're done. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Chris Scheim will be back tomorrow morning with the Greg Hill Show.
Sir.
Everybody enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
See ya.